touched our redeeming, died on the cross, died for the sin, paid all his dues. All who receive him need never fear, for he will pass through, pass over here. When I see the blood,
prayer request. I got a passage of scripture I'd like to share with you. The Lord's help. You know, we can do absolutely nothing without the Lord's help.
Amen.
I've become more aware of that.
Bless you, brother.
Every morning that the Lord wakes me up.
Amen.
I need him to get out of bed.
That's right.
I'm not complaining. I'm bragging on the Lord because he's my help. Got to praying and studying and seeking the Lord what he might have to for me to share this week. And I really had my mind made up about something different, entirely different. And the Lord changed it. So we'll share what he wanted. In St. Luke, the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 10.
Bless you, brother. Been looking forward to it all day. What chapter, G?
10, chapter 10. There's several accounts of a similar meeting. In Luke, there's recorded two different meetings of this type. And to me, if my understanding is correct, and it's about when a rich young ruler comes to Jesus and asks him, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" In the other three Gospels that they're in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, I believe it's the same person, just three different accounts related by three different people.
Right.
But this is a different situation here. So I believe it's an entirely different person simply because of what Jesus asked and the reply that was given. And it's a different account. But in Luke chapter 10, verse 25, again with verse 25, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live.
Yep.
And he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? So the Lord proceeds to tell the parable of the Samaritan.
Right.
In the other accounts, when Jesus asked the young ruler, he said, the young ruler asked Jesus, What must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus answers him back and he says, Thou knowest the commandments.
Right.
And he begins to quote the commandments, but these first two are left out in the other account. And to me, it presents a different situation. In this situation, the man is trying to justify himself by good works.
Yeah.
And he thinks he, by good works, can make it into heaven. The other accounts, I think they're trying to justify by what they can do. They're trying to work their way to obtain eternal life.
Good.
Because they've honored all of the what I refer to as the doing commandments. Honor your father and mother, don't steal, don't kill. You know, they've obeyed them. And then remember what he told them? He told them, he said, go and sell all that you have and give it to the poor. He goes away sorrowful, sad, because he didn't want to put God first and didn't want to put his fellow man first.
Amen.
But this guy, he mentions that first thing right off the bat. And Jesus tells him, that's right. And really, when you stop and think about it, if you love God and you love your fellow man, your brothers and sisters in Christ, if you love them like you're supposed to, everything else will fall into place.
Amen.
But there was a thought that came to me while the Lord had this on my mind and meditating and praying and thinking about it, and the Lord just brought a thought to me, and maybe it'll help you all. It helped me. It's really helped me just in 2 days. It has really helped me. The thought come to me, what would I be willing to do to have eternal life? Now, I know we have to accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. That's the only way, through the blood of the cross.
Amen.
It's the only way we can be saved.
That's right.
But we have to live it afterwards.
Amen.
So what are we willing to do? Are we willing to love our brothers and sisters? Are we willing to love the lost?
Yeah.
God loves them.
Amen.
God loves them. Now, I'm not in no way condoning any of the violence that's gone on in this world today. What's going on? No way do I. I'm condoning that. It's wrong. It's God don't. He's not pleased with it. But God loves their soul.
They got a soul, buddy.
They got a soul. I had a soul. Believe you me, I'm ashamed to say it, but I was unlovable.
Yes, sir, buddy.
I was unlovable to the world. But there was a handful of people, no doubt in my mind,
hallelujah,
that were on their face praying to God for me, for Him to have mercy,
hallelujah,
on me. And on a Friday night, in our house, about 12 o'clock at midnight, the Lord began to deal with our heart. Could I share my testimony?
Yes, please.
When Pat and I got married, we were married for about 3 years. And just every once in a while, she'd say, we'd lay down and go to bed. She'd say, honey, I love you. And I'd say, honey, I love you too. And I did. And she did. And she'd make the comment, I want us to be together forever. I just want us to be together forever. And that began to bother me because we weren't saved. And I knew, I grew up in church some. She grew up in church some. I knew where forever was going to be. And she'd say that, she just every 2 or 3 months she'd bring it up or something. So ever so often, you know, sometimes every week And I think, oh, please just be quiet. Because it was bothering me.
Yeah.
That was eating me up. The Lord was convicting me. I was under conviction for a pretty good little while. And that ate me up. Boy, I tell you what, because I knew where eternity was going to be.
Bless you, buddy.
And one night, that Friday night, praise the Lord, she said, honey, I love you. And I thought, oh, no, here she goes again. She said, I want us to be together forever. I said, honey, I do too, and just try to pat her and soothe her. And, you know, don't talk about it. Don't talk about it. And she said, but I don't want it to be in hell together. Oh. I tell you what, that was the tipping point. And I said, she said, I wish we could go to church right now and pray. I said, we don't have to go to church. I said, God's here. We can pray right here. And we got out of bed.
Hallelujah.
Knelt down beside our bed. Ask the Lord to forgive us. And you talk about a hallelujah time.
Praise the Lord.
I don't know if the neighbors heard or not. Don't care. We was shouting.
Hallelujah.
We was shouting and praising God for what He had done for us that Friday night in the bedroom of our home. We was praising. I wanted to call everybody up. I did. I wanted to call everybody up and tell them the good news. And just throw this in real quick. I was working at Pet Milk, unloading milk, and I had to work that Saturday. That's part of my job. And so went to work Saturday, and every one of them milk callers would come in. I had to tell them. And there was one elderly man that had talked to me when I first started working up there. He come to me, and he said, Gene, talk to me a little bit. And he said, can I ask you something? And I said, sure, Bruce, what is it? He said, you go to church? And I said, no, I don't go to church, Bruce. He said, are you saved? And I said, no, I'm not saved, Bruce. He said, can I pray for you? Can I start praying for you? And I said, yeah, I'd appreciate it. And I did. And he just straightened. And every once in a while, he'd tell me, Gene, I love you. I'm still praying for you. Well, that Saturday, I told him what happened. And I was back at the truck pumping his milk out and washing his pump. And he come around. And he stood back just about 4 or 5 feet from me. And he kept looking at me. And I turned around and looked. And I said, Bruce, is everything okay? He said, are you okay? You look different. And I said, turn around, tears in my eyes, just crying and praising. I said, I am different, praise the Lord. I'm different. And now he had to be at least 70 years old at that time. And you know what he done? He run over there and grabbed me up, picked me up off the ground, just hugged me. Boy, I tell you what, you talk about a blessing.
Praise the Lord.
But it just, I tell you what, I praise the Lord for loving me when I was unlovable.
Amen.
It's sad to read that these accounts, these people went away brokenhearted. There's no account of them ever accepting Jesus Christ as their Savior. So, I'm not going to say that they're burning in hell because I don't know. There's just no record. I hope and pray that they did make it right. But what would we be willing to do to hold on to this salvation? And there's been things that come up at work, just especially these like little situations. You know them little situations? And you know what rings in my mind? What are you going to do here, Gene, to hold on to this eternal life that you got?
Amen.
Do what? Do what's right. Do what God would want you to do.
Praise the Lord.
Sometimes it's just keep your mouth shut.
Amen.
Sometimes it's speak out and witness. And so I'm... If the Lord's done, I'm going to be done.
Bless you,
Gene. Good
stuff, Gene. Appreciate the Lord. We can't do nothing without Him.
Amen.
I'm learning to depend on Him more and more and more. And I like it that way. I'll be honest with you. I like it that way.
Amen.
I do. It's a great learning experience.
Praise the Lord.
So we'll take prayer requests now. I have one, a young man come, I went down to talk to him Monday, and he said, Gene, he said, guess what happened to me over the weekend? And I said, I wouldn't have any idea, Joey. I said, what happened? I said, I hope it wasn't nothing bad. He said, oh, no, it wasn't bad. He said, I give my heart to the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
And I praise the Lord for that, you know.
Amen.
And so I'd like for the church to, he has real bad depression problem, and I'd real bad migraines and just a lot of different things. Not a real old man. He's maybe middle 30s, I guess.
Wow.
And but I told him, I said, I'm going to be praying for you and I'm going to have our church pray for you. And invited him down to visit with us. He's looking for a church.
Yeah. Bless you, brother.
be the Lord's will, maybe he'll join us.
Amen.
So anyone else have a prayer request? Did anyone have anything? Song or testimony? Not. I'm going to turn it over to Brother Paul.
Bless you, Gene. Appreciate you, buddy. Love you, brother.
Love you, brother.
It's amazing how God works. I mean, I've had scripture on my heart since Monday. And I'm like Brother Gene, been pondering on it, meditating on it, praying over it, looking at it, thinking about it, studying about God, and studying about things. And he come up, thank you, brother. He come up tonight and talked about that individual that he just asked a question, or what have I got to do? And Jesus told him, and the Bible said that he went away sorrowful. He couldn't commit. I mean, as you look at it, and he just simply couldn't commit to the things of God. And we want to share something with you tonight, and I pray it'll be a help to you wherever you're out listening tonight. You might be listening by Facebook, by the church website, however you might be tuned in. And those, everybody in the building tonight, I pray this will be a blessing, and I pray that it'll be a help to you. And I pray that the Lord would help me and anoint me, that I'd say something to be a help and encouragement to the people of God. If you're out there tonight and you're lost and you're backslid or whatever it might be, it's time to make a change. It's time to move up. Time to get close to God. And right here is what I want to be appreciating on the thought tonight, is get out of the corner. Get out of the corner. This lawyer, Jesus told him what to do, but he wasn't willing to step out and obey the word of God. These people out there that they do good, and they think they're as good as anybody else. But I'm going to tell you, the Bible said if Jesus died for all, then all must have been dead. And that included me, that included you. Nicodemus was a man, no doubt, knowed the Bible. But there was one thing that he lacked. Jesus told him, he said, Nicodemus, marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. Yes. I'm not talking about that natural birth that you and I had at the hospital or home or wherever it might have been. But I'm talking about a spiritual birth that comes from God, that comes down from God out of heaven. What he talked about a while ago, at midnight, there's conviction come on his heart, and he realized the only way that he could spend or be in eternity with his loved one was to be born again. You are a living soul. You're gonna live on and on and on and on and on somewhere. You're going to be in the presence of God, or you'll be in that awful place called hell that wasn't made for man, but it was made for the devil and his angels and his followers. But if you read the Bible said hell has moved out and it's enlarged its borders. Why is that? Because the Bible plainly says to meet men at their coming. There's a lot of people dying and going to hell without God, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth and going forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. But there's one thing about it. I'm glad he made a way at Calvary here. Lord willing, here we're not this Sunday, but next Sunday we'll celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Lord willing, we'll have a sunrise service here. I don't know exactly what time it'll be, but you pray for us. We've got communion on our heart for Easter Sunday. So you pray for us tonight. But turn your Bibles to the book of Acts in the 26th chapter. Very familiar scriptures to you readers out there.
But I want to get this across tonight. I mean, here there was a, Gene talked about a young ruler. He was probably well known. He probably, he had a pretty good life. I mean, and we're going to read here about another man that no doubt was well known, no doubt that he had a pretty good life. But you know what he done? He wouldn't commit. He wouldn't submit. He wouldn't do what the old man of God said. Paul here in the 26th chapter here, I'm gonna jump around here at the first part of it tonight in the 26th chapter. We're talking about King Agrippa. The Bible said now here in the first verse, then Agrippa said unto Paul, thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth his hand and answered for himself. You may be seated tonight. There'll be times in mine and your life that there's going to be a time that we're going to have to answer for ourselves. So Paul, then he goes on to tell Agrippa right here that what happened to him. He said, and you go down to verse number three, and this he's talking to Agrippa when he was beginning to answer for himself, touching the things that he was accused of. But verse number three said, he said, especially because I know thee to be expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews, wherefore I beseech thee to hear me patiently. And then Paul begins to go on and tell Agrippa there what how that he was in the sect or in the religion and lived as a Pharisee, and he said, I stand in judgment here for the hope of the promise that God had made to our fathers. And he goes on to say, he said, in Agrippa, King Agrippa, he said, I've constantly and instantly serving God day and night. He said, come to, and he said, for the hope to come. He said, for which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. And he said, why is it should it be such a hard thing and an incredible thing with you that God should raise the dead? He's talking about preaching of the resurrection of the dead, about Jesus rising from the dead. But anyway, he goes on down there and tells him there, he said, and I barely thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. He said, which I did. He said, I done that. And he said, I had a lot of people shut up in prison and with authority from the chief priest. He said, I always had I also had some put to death. And he said, and I gave my voice against them. So here was a man that had no doubt as he stood before King Agrippa. He said, King Agrippa, he said, I'm going to speak for myself. He said, I was a Pharisee. He said, I know the law. I know all about the word of God. And he said, I thought that it was a doing right. But he said, at one time when I heard about people being saved and believing in a man that arose from the dead, he said, I put him in prison and even I consented even to some of them's death. And you think about this tonight. Here was a man, one of the greatest men in the Bible. Now we know the story about Stephen, how the Stephen was brought into question for what he believed in. And brother, the Bible said that they rose up against him and they stoned him to death. And I believe that Saul, this very same man, I believe when they began to throw rocks at Stephen and kill him, I believe Saul held their coats. I believe they took their garments off and laid on Saul, laid on him. And brother, there he watched them as they killed the old preaching deacon. And can you imagine having to live with this the rest of your life? I mean, he had a lot of guilt on him, no doubt, for seeing that and being a part of it. And maybe, I don't know if that was maybe a thorn in the flesh. I don't know if it was a physical thorn or a mental thorn or something that he had to deal with. But God said, you've asked me to take it from you, but he said, I've told you that my grace is sufficient. And Paul said, well, I've learned that whatever state that I'm in, just to be content and trust in God. So first of all tonight, beloved, it doesn't matter what you've done, where you've come from. God is a gracious God. God will forgive us, brother, of our sins. Paul was a murderer, and he consented unto it. And he's trying to talk to King Agrippa here. And let me show you where I'm going tonight. Just be patient with me there. Paul asked Agrippa to be patient with him. And then he goes on down here, and he said, which things I did also in Jerusalem. He said, unto the many of the saints did I shut up in prison, and receive authority to put them to death, and voice against them. He said, I punished them often in the synagogues, and compelled them to blaspheme, and being exceedingly mad against them. He said, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. He said, I pushed them so hard that they left and went into other little places. He said, I drove them so hard that I put them on the run. And now stay with me here tonight. And he goes on to say, he said, now listen, because of the authority and the commission that I had received from the chief priest. But here he goes to tell, about midday, there he was, brother, on his way with papers in his hand, to go get those that had fled unto Damascus, that were believing in the Son of God. And brother, as he was going there, now think about this tonight, this is Paul speaking for himself. And he said, about midday there was a light that come down, and brother, he said, when it happened, he said, I fell to the earth. And he said, Saul, Saul, why thou persecutest thou me, and kick against the pricks or against the goads? I mean, why are you doing this? And just like old time conviction, when God began to convict me of my sins and the way I was living, and maybe he said, why are you making it so hard on yourself? Just believe in me, and I'll lift the burdens off of you. I'll lift the guilt off of you. I'll lift the blood off of your hands if you'll come and trust me. And he goes on to say right here, but he said, God told me to rise up and get up, that he had a purpose for him. He wanted him to be witnesses, brother, to those that was out there, and delivering and bring deliverance to the Gentiles. He said, I'm going to send you to open up the eyes of the blind. I'm going to send you to bring the light to those who are in darkness, and turn many, and turn the power of Satan unto God. Hey, out there tonight, there's out there a lot of listening to me tonight. You need to get out from under the hand of the devil. You need to get out from under the hand and under the power of Satan. Hey, tonight, we're either lost or we're saved. You're either in or you're out. There's no in between. And listen, I've got, God help me to pray. I've been on this since Monday, but I can't help it. But anyway, verse number 19, he mentioned, whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. He said, but showed first unto them of Damascus and of Jerusalem throughout the coast of Judea, then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God, and do works meet for repentance. Now, Paul's talking to King Agrippa right here, and knowing that Agrippa know the word, he know the law, he know the book, he was in a position, brother, that maybe in a matter of speaking, as Saul was. I mean, Saul had authority. Saul was well learned in the Bible. But brother, Paul, Saul wasn't saved. King Agrippa wasn't saved. But I'll tell you what tonight, beloved, just like Gene said, this rich young ruler, he simply would not commit. He simply would not come out of the corner. Brother, I'm telling you tonight, let me go on before I get ahead of myself. But anyhow, right here, he said, after all that, he said, they tried to kill me. And they went about in the temple trying to kill me. And he said, having therefore obtained from help of God, he said, I continue unto this day a witness both to the small, the great, the rich, the poor, and the red, the gallant, the black, and the white. He said, which God, of which those things of which the prophets and Moses did say should come. He said, that Christ should suffer, and then he should be first, and that he should be the first that raised from the dead, and should show light unto the people and the Gentiles. He said, and listen, and as he thus spake for him, here we are again, and as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, you're beside yourself, and much learning doth make you mad. And the Bible said, Paul said, he said, I'm not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. But now listen to this. He said, for the king knoweth of these things, before whom I also speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of those things were hidden from him, and this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, he said, now right here, look at him. He's talking to King Agrippa now. He said, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? He said, I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said to Paul, almost have thou persuaded me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all those that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds, speaking of being in jail or in captivity, have been in prison and suffering, and they trying to shut him down and put him in jail and do a lot of things. But here Paul said, King Agrippa, back when I first started reading this, he said, King Agrippa, I know you know these things. He said, I know you believe what I'm talking about. And brother, here he says again in this place, he said, King Agrippa, I know you believe the law and the prophets. I know that thou believest. Paul knew that King Agrippa knew the ways of God. Paul said, none of this stuff was done in a corner. I mean, there was nothing secretly done, but there was trying to be hid. I believe, brother, when Jesus chose his men, he done it publicly. I believe when he raised the dead, he done it publicly. I believe when he helped the leper, he done it publicly. He said this right here. He said, King Agrippa, I know you believe. Ain't nothing done in the corner. He said, I want you to get out of the corner. I'm going to say something tonight. I'll get mail and everything else. I'm going to tell you something tonight. The rulers and the people that's running this country, they're wicked. They support abortion. They support all of this mess. Right straight out of hell. I don't care how you voted tonight, but hey, how in the world can you vote for that? That means you stand behind it. You support it. I say tonight, guys, it's time the people of God get out of the corner. It's time the people of God make a stand for what's right. And backslider, lost man, lost woman, it's time to get out of the corner. There ain't nothing done secretly. It was done openly. When I got born again, saved by the grace of God, the first thing I wanted to do was call my mama. and say, Mama, you won't have to worry about me staying out of the nights coming in drunk and all that stuff no more. Why is that? I pray God. I saw the match and same-sex marriages and boys going to girls' bathroom, boy, girls going to boys. But my God, they come out the corner. Hey, Agrippa, I know you believe it. Hey, lost man, I know you believe it. Hey, lost woman, I know you believe it. But what you got to do is come out of the corner.
Amen.
Come out of the corner.
Praise the Lord.
King Agrippa, he said, King Agrippa, I know you believe. He said, there ain't been nothing done in the corner. You out there tonight, you got a wife that's saved. You out there tonight, you've got a husband that's saved. You know that. You know there's a change made. You know there's something that's not done secretly, or it's in a corner. I tell you what it is. It's we've confessed that the Lord has risen from the dead. We confess that He is our Lord and our Savior. We confess that He is the Alpha and the Omega, and in Him we live and move and have our being, and we can't do nothing without Him. Hey, I know you believe it. I know you believe it out there. So why in the world can't you get out of the corner?
Amen.
Listen, this lawyer Gene talked about, I tell you why God changed his mind. He changed his mind for this right here. There's a lot of them got sorrowed hearts. There's a lot of them out there that's got heartburn. There's a lot of them out there got conviction on them. And they know God wants to save them. And they know God wants to help them. But first of all, they got to make their mind up. And like he said, sell everything you got. I ain't talking about selling your house and this and that and the other. I'm talking about put God first. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto ye. I know you believe it out there, beloved, but I'm trying to get you to get out of the corner.
Amen.
We'll tell you what God's Bible says. He said, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father. And I'm going to tell you something tonight. I mean, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of what God's done in my life. I'm not ashamed of what God's doing in my life. I'm so grateful and thankful of where the Lord brought me from. And I tell you what, guys, Lou told it, and I told it to Dallas today at work. I said, the only time that I feel like anything or anything, that I'm any count or doing anything to ever amount to a hill of beans, it's when I've got my Bible in the pulpit and tell the people. Have to get out of the corner and run to Jesus and God's Son. He loves you and He wants to get you out of the corner.
Amen.
Think about this tonight as a challenge. Look down at the border, millions of dollars paying for motel bills for illegal. Now they've got it. They won't even let the news, the news people on the borders to broadcast what's going on. I tell you what's going on. They're hiding a lot of stuff. But God said, brother, you'll not hide nothing from me. I don't know about you guys, whether you're Republican, Democrat, Independent, I'd rather be an old time Christian than anything I know, and I'm glad, praise God, that I got out of the corner one day. They come out of the corner so proud to be this or to be that. I say we as the people of God were to be proud to come out of the corner. Say, I'm glad I've been born again, saved by the grace of God, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Praise God. I told a boy today, talking about the Lord and people that need to be saved, and they've heard the truth and they know the truth, and I went on to say like this, they're burnt. You either believe God, believe the gospel, come out, or you'll be burnt. It'll haunt you all the days of your life. If you make your bed in hell, he'll be there. He'll wake you up. You'll be awake. And you'll suffer and suffer and suffer. And suffering has torment. It'll bother you. It'll get in your mind. It'll about drive you crazy. But I'll tell you one thing. Boys, he'll clothe you and put you in your right mind. And when you get out of the corner, you want to be a part of something, praise God, and to shout it from the housetop. He said, King Agrippa, I know you believe. I know you do. There ain't nothing been done or hid in the corner. Look here what he said. Paul, you've almost persuaded me. Paul, you've almost convinced me to come out of the corner. Amen. Ain't nothing hid or done in the corner. It's done openly. He died openly on the cross of Calvary. He hung between the heavens and the earth, and there was murderers and thieves on either side of him. And brother, he was numbered with the transgressors. He was there, a man, a perfect man. Love, love, love. He loved us enough to die for us. And God help all of us tonight to take a stand for what's right and stand up for God. And we'll stand up for God. God will stand with us. But you got to come out the corner first. I've heard that come out of the corner, come out of the closet, come out of the corner. I've heard it. I'm like old Ed Davis, maybe about make a buzzard puke. But I say, praise God tonight, old King Agrippa, I know you believe. I know you believe it. Lost man out there, I know you believe it. Lost woman out there, I know you believe it. Praise God, I know you believe it. You've heard enough over the years. You know he died for you. You know he loves you. You know he rose from the dead. You know he went back to heaven, sent the comfort of the Holy Ghost down. I know there's a lot of confusion about that. But there's one thing that I know tonight. They'll not make me believe he wasn't born of a virgin. They'll not make me believe he wasn't baptized at 30. And 3.5 year ministry called his men. I took him yonder to the mountain, and as a cloud received him out of their sight, him angel said, why are you men standing here? This same Jesus is coming again in like manner. I believe he's a coming tonight. That's why I'm here. I've come out of the corner. I got out of the corner and prayed God, trying to get to the housetop to tell it. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive. And you know that he's alive. You know he's alive. You know he's alive. You know he died for you. You know he loves you. You know God sent you prophets, and you know God sent you special things over the years to show you that he's alive. Special things through children, through adults, through this, through that. Quit blaming the lies of the devil and realize that you got to make a stand and get out of the corner. I've been bothered with this message for 2 days. And I'm trying to get you to get out of the corner. I mean, everybody in the world, this infidel world we live in, everybody's coming out. But I say it's time, praise God, to make our mind up, speak for ourselves like Paul did, and try to convince people and tell them, I know you believe it, so just get out of the corner. Yeah. Make your way just like Jesus. You don't have to be in church to be saved, but when you get saved, you'll be in church. Yeah. You won't want to miss it. I'm afraid something will go on down here and just something happened that wouldn't know it. I don't feel like that would happen, but boy, we was on the back porch a while ago coming to church. The dog looking at something over there. Lou said, what you looking at? I said, there ain't nothing over there. What's she looking at? Ain't nothing over there. All of a sudden she made a dive over there. I don't know what it was, but if I hear something going on down here, I'm going to make a dive come in down here. Hey, and see who got out of the corner. Hey, who's taking a stand for God and doing what God wants them. I tell you, you'll not live a happier life. I mean, you might be 30 when like I was and I saved. You might be like old man Nicodemus. You might be what? It don't matter how old you are. You can be born again, become a new creature, a new Christ. You become a baby and you start growing in the things of God. But I know you know some things. So get out of the corner. Let me tell you something now, and I'm coming to close. God sent this message tonight through Gene and through me. What have I got to do to have eternal life? You got to do something. Don't go away sorrowfully like this lawyer did. Receive him. Don't do like King Agrippa done. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Don't be almost, be all the way like Paul said. Go all the way for Jesus. And first of all, you'll have to get out of the corner. You'll have to confess him with your mouth. When you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, thou shalt be saved. And boy, when you get saved, you know what you want to do? You want to tell somebody. You want to tell somebody. And I'm going to share this with you and I'm going to close. When I first got saved, I don't remember if it was, I've been in church a month or 2 months, or don't remember what it was. Might have been just a week or whatever. But it was, I was working for the concrete company. And we was hauling, it was pouring a big warehouse, a lot of yards of concrete. I'd go get a ticket, go and get in line, dump it out. And I went two times. And there was a boy there that I'd known since I was a drunk and all that other stuff. But I never did tell him. And I knowed the next load behind me would finish the job. And I thought, Lord, I'm so, so sorry. I'm so, so sorry. When I got back to the plant, Jimmy Lovin handed me a concrete ticket and said, Paul, they lack 2 yards. And I said, thank you, God. If you let me get back to that warehouse or that back there where they're pouring, I'll tell it. I got there and pulled that iron brake on, never went for the chutes or nothing else. I run straight to Edwin at what his name was. I said, hey, I just got saved, praise God. And you know what happened? It made me feel like getting out of the corner. It made me want to get, hey, I've been in the corner, you've been in the corner, but by the grace of God, guys, let's get out of the corner and be persuaded that he's able to do what he said he'd do. I love him tonight. I love yuns and I appreciate yuns. I love you lost sinner out there. And I would to God not preach with all that's in me tonight to try to get you out of the corner. Now it's up to you tonight what you do. Don't be like King Agrippa. Don't say, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Confess, believe, and say, I'm glad I'm a Christian. And I'll tell you one thing, there'll be a load come off of you. And you'll feel free. And that condemnation and all that old guilt and all that old stuff, if you let God, he'll get you and help you through it. There'll be things that'll follow me all the days of my life about my past. But the more I get in here of this, the littler it gets. And praise God tonight, I'm glad. Paul said, Agrippa, you know there ain't been nothing done in the corner. And I know you believe it. Almost. I never read nowhere else where he got another chance. There'll be an opportunity come one day. If you don't receive it, it might be your last one. So don't put it off too long. You're out there tonight, don't you let this be the last message you ever hear from this old preacher. I want you to be saved. I want you to come out and name the name of Jesus and be a part of us. and grow and just make God as big as we can get Him down here at Lick Creek. Yeah. Make the light shine farther and farther and farther. Amen. And make a difference in other people's lives, because He sure made a difference in my life. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, since Monday evening, Lord, I've been pondering on this scripture and this thought. Thank You, Lord, for changing Gene's mind on what he had. Lord, to that lawyer, that individual, Lord, no doubt knowed, but he just wouldn't surrender. He just wouldn't have a part of eternal life. And King Agrippa, Lord, I never read nowhere else, or never heard word that he wasn't that he confessed You. He told us in the scripture here we was almost persuaded. But God, help us tonight. Help this message to persuade people to come out and to confess You and believe You and trust You. And God, we may grow together. And Paul said, be sent to the Gentiles, those out there that those non-believers that need You in their life. Use us and use them tonight, God, that You've reached, to reach others. And we'll do our best to just tell that You done every bit of it. We'll shout it from the housetop and give You praise and honor and glory. For it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. Anything for anybody got anything?
I put a dog for the cat back here
at
the back. The parking lot doesn't put dirt in it. You have to pay to get out and
Now we'll forget that. Debbie brought a little old boy here one time. We preached a big service about like this.
So funny.
Church full, more I'm sure. And that little old fella come to Debbie and said, you got to pay to get out here.
That was so funny.
That was, bless his heart. She explained it to him, that the preacher didn't have enough sense to take up offering. But anyway, guys, we love you. It's good night. Thank you for coming. Come back Sunday morning and... praise God, let's come out. Y'all too.
Yeah, sound good.
Let's come out.